Welcome to Church Unfiltered with Dr. Anthony Copps, a leadership podcast brought to you by Breakthrough Ministry Consulting.
All right, welcome to another episode of Church Unfiltered. We are here, of course, to serve the church, serve pastors, ministry leaders, church staff, making sure that they are able to accomplish the things that God has given them to do. We are powered by Breakthrough Ministry Consulting, and just here to help in any way that we can to make sure that the kingdom of God is furthered in the local church. I am excited today with this episode. We have a very special guest with us on today. This is a dynamic man of God who is just making waves throughout the kingdom, waves throughout the country, even around the world, and from South Bend, Indiana. And we are just doing a tremendous job into being a blessing and speaking truth to power. And I'm so grateful to have with us on today, Pastor YPJ is with us. How you doing, my brother?
Man, I'm doing well considering all that's going on in the world. 2020 yeah. has been challenging, but God is still good, man. So I'm blessed to be here.
And well, we are looking forward to it. I need a word about 2020, Pastor. So this has been, yes, absolutely the most unique year thus far. And so we definitely want to just kind of hear your thoughts in reference to that. But let me do a couple of things. I want to make sure that our listeners know, Pastor YPJ is again, dynamic man of God. He is a musician, Grammy nominated. He is well known. If you go to his Instagram or his social media, you see the people who follow him. You would just be blown away by the connections and the circle that he has. You got like 133,000 followers, and I'm just trying to come up. I'm trying to break the thousand.
Ah, man.
But he is the senior pastor. He is the senior pastor of Faith Alive Ministries in South Bend, Indiana. And so we are so grateful to have with us such a humble guy. He has been a tremendous blessing to my ministry, to the church where I work at Resurrection, and to the young adults there. And so we're just so grateful to have him on today, Pastor YPJ. I'm going to give you a chance to kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, things, what you would want us to know about you. But one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, when you did come and preach at our church, I remember some of the things that was said in that particular message that they came to pass. And I wanted to just make sure that we had opportunity. This broadcast, I want to make sure that we have opportunity to hear voices that are speaking life, speaking truth. And sometimes speaking truth is not always rosy. It's not always the fun stuff and the good stuff. Sometimes it's hard to speak a word. I remember in the scripture when Samuel was called, the first thing that he had to do was go to his boss. Go to his boss and tell him, look, listen, this is what the Lord said. Yeah. I'm like, wow, that was the first assignment. And so I just thank God for your voice. I've been listening to the things that you've been saying. You've gone viral from things that you said, even in reference to this year, and things are coming to pass, the social unrest, all the things that are happening. And so I thank God for your ministry, but I wanted our listeners to hear from you firsthand. Tell us a little bit about Pastor YPJ. Explain to our listeners where the YPJ comes from and all of that too. That's awesome.
Well, YPJ used to stand for Youth Pastor Jonathan when I became the senior pastor. Like anything else, if you've been called something for an extended period of time, they won't let it go. So YPJ became the brand. Mm-hmm. And then there's actually another pastor, Jonathan Miller, who's a good friend of mine, a Caucasian brother. And people were double booking us. They would get me for TVN, but they thought they were getting him. And they would get him for TVN and thought they were getting me. So YPJ just became the brand. But again, from South Bend, Indiana, I've been here my entire life. I took over from my father, who's still here helping me in ministry, about 11 years ago. So I've served as a senior pastor, man. Honestly, just making myself available to God to do whatever I can to progress the kingdom and to see some manifestation of his glory in the earth. That sounds very churchy, but in the time frame that we're in, We need true kingdom representatives that care about unity, care about harmony, and care about progression. I think we've done church for a very long time, and it's only gotten us so far, but now it's time to be the church. So, man, I'm just glad to serve.
Wow. How long have you been pastor at Faith Alive?
Been senior pastor 11 years. I was the youth pastor for 10 years prior to that, but I've been there my entire life. I was a pew baby. So when my parents started the church, it was so funny. They started in a storefront. It was only about 11 people. So I've seen the progress of 11 to 3,500, whereas how it's grown. And it's just been a blessing to be a part. Now, for whatever reason, I'm the leader. So it's a journey.
Amen. All right. That's great. That is wonderful. And we, again, one of the things about bringing you on the show, a passage of scripture that has just been resonating in my spirit, especially over this COVID season, is from 1 Chronicles 12:32. Talks about there were men from the sons of Issachar. The sons of Issachar understood the times and what to do about it. I think a lot of times we will say people understood the times, or we want to understand the times, but you also need to know what to do about it. And so I think it's very important for us to hear from someone that understands that concept, that understands how to read the time and pay attention to what's happening around, especially for such a young man as yourself. I mean, you speak truth about what's happening all around. So I want us to talk about that a little bit, but I also want to talk about, something a little lighter. You have great influence, brother. You have great influence. Again, I made mention of the type of people who are following you on social media. You have entertainers, you have actresses, actors, you have so many different types of people. Where did that influence, how did you build that influence, and how do you even maintain and nurture that influence that you have with such a variety of people?
Honestly, that measure of influence came organically. I think there are those that are drawn to someone that they have a sense of relatability to. When I was growing up in the inner city, you probably heard this, they say real recognize real. Mm-hmm. I think authentic people are drawn to authentic people. And so I've always tried to do my very best to represent my parents to the degree that they raised us to be ourselves. And so just in being genuine in my presentation, I saw by the grace of God, that measure of draw. It wasn't something that I intended to do. It wasn't something I put out there like I want celebrities and athletes to connect to me. It was just an organic draw. And so maintaining it in its own right is challenging, because I have had celebrities that followed me for a little while and then they unfollowed me or they disconnected because they did not necessarily agree with the statements I was making. And I know a lot of people that when they gain any kind of measure of influence or audience with celebrities, athletes, people of great influence, they'll adjust their personality trying to keep the connection with that person. But my thought process has always been, God is the one that gave me the stage, he gave me the platform, and he's given me the opportunity. And I got here by being obedient. So if I've arrived through obedience, then my maintenance and my staying power is based solely on my obedience to him, or else I will lose the platform. And so it is challenging, because a lot of times you're excited and you're natural, you're a human person. You get excited like, oh, wow, so-and-so just DM'd me, or so-and-so wants to connect. And then when you're required to say something that makes them uncomfortable and they disconnect, you're like, oh, dang, I thought I had a connection. But ultimately, as long as my connection to the kingdom is strong, I've noticed that the Lord has always continued to send various people in my direction.
That's good. What would you say to ministers, especially preachers, pastors, who are trying to build a brand, if you will? They're trying to build a brand, or they're trying to establish a platform or gain a platform to have influence, to try to do. Speak to us on the whole brand thing.
Branding.
You definitely have a great brand. But
branding is a funny thing, because you can, honestly, if you got money, you can brand anything. Those who have resources can brand the thing. But the problem is, if you are not organically you, as stated, can you maintain it? And I think there are those that hire teams and they hire consultants and they invest big dollars trying to get a platform overnight. But a lot of times that which is established overnight can be lost overnight as well. And so I always tell people, if you stay consistent in your presentation and you're organic in your demonstration, then that has the ability to maintain some sense of staying power. I would say to any pastor, any leader that really wants to expand their ministry for more eyes and more ears, first and foremost, get in contact with God and figure out, what is it that I'm supposed to be saying to the world? You know, Pastor, one of the things that a lot of folks don't understand is we're not all called to the masses, but you can have just as much influence in a small circle if that's where you're supposed to be. I know people who have 3 or 4 million followers, but they have no influence. They just have eyes on them, lookers and lurkers. And those lights don't really define them. They think, well, I got 3 million followers, but nobody really knows who they are. They're not impacting anything. Wow. But then you have individuals who may only have 10,000 followers, but they'll make a statement that goes viral and it impacts millions of people. So you can't always measure your impact by the amount of followers or by the size of your quote unquote social media platform or media presentation. Ultimately, are you being genuine to what you've been called to do? And if you do that, you'll have an audience of people that are drawn to you specifically for you. And within that audience, who knows who God will connect? Think about it. If you got 10 million followers and nobody knows who you are, you're not really influential, then what's the real purpose of having that measure of platform? But if you got 20 followers and one is LeBron James and the other one is President Obama, then you probably have a greater audience with greater influence than the person that has 10 million followers. So it's just something that you have to really stay true to yourself, and then you'll see some sort of manifestation that reveals to you that I'm doing what God called me to do, and it's effective.
That's good. That's good. What do you say? What do you say to those that say, as preachers, pastors, that we shouldn't build our own brand? We shouldn't do that. It's all about Jesus.
Well, I mean, I think they say that until they open a restaurant, or they say that until they have a T-shirt line. There are specific areas where branding is not a demonic thing for you to promote yourself. It just depends on the motive behind it. I think when you're promoting your prophetic gift and you're saying it's $25 a prophecy, now you're erring from the faith because you're using the kingdom for some selfish gratification. But branding in its own right is not necessarily a bad thing. As stated, Pastor YPJ, branded is not branded because of some arrogant consumption. It's because me and my friend kept getting double booked. And so I decided to go with Pastor YPJ just to separate the names to make it easier for both of us. And because here in my city, that was my nickname and it's just who I was called. There was no ill motive behind it. It just became more beneficial moving forward for people reaching out to me, contacting me, et cetera. But once you establish yourself, it's a funny thing, branding kind of just takes care of itself, believe it or not. There are some measures of it. And again, branding sometimes is as simple as if you're having a conference and you want people to come to the conference. It's not demonic to have a commercial made. The commercial is to get information out and let people know what's going on. Jesus tells a story about the man who had a wedding for his daughter and nobody showed up. And he said, go into the highways, into the byways and invite people to be a part of this wedding. I want you to go tell them. That's promoting. That's actually getting out in the streets saying, hey, come to this. I need you to come here. So a lot of times I think we do over spiritualize natural things and make them into demonic issues when it's really not that at all. It's the mindset or the motive behind what's being done. And if your intent is genuine and your heart is genuine, there's nothing wrong with pursuing a better way of branding or bringing clarity to who you are and what you represent.
That's excellent. Excellent answer. Thank you very much for that. Because I know that there are a number of people who are trying to, they're trying to get their brand going. Yeah. They're trying to get a platform. And I know that there's, you know, an old church that tell us, you know, that you got to humble yourself. You can't do that kind of thing and don't promote yourself and don't, you know, and all those things. But you have to be able to tell people about your business, about what you're doing. And I almost think it's a disservice to the Lord. I mean, he gave you the gift. He gave you the ability, the wherewithal to be able to do something. And then we don't tell anyone, you know, or we feel like we can't tell anyone. And so I thank you for that answer and appreciate your answer on that. Listen, I want to hear from you. I want to segue into hearing from you in understanding the times that we are in. You have shared some things on social media and very, very profound statements. One of my questions that I had personally, and I was going to ask you offline, but I'm going to ask it on. Like, how do you come up with this content? You have so much content every day. Everything you put out is, I mean, even if it's just something humorous, and I love your humor and all of that. But when you put out, it seems so profound and well thought out. How do you come up with content?
Content is different for everybody. I've been gifted, and this is a God gift, with creativity. The Lord has given me the ability to create, and I'm a critical thinker, so my mind is always running. But this is the honest to God true, Pastor, and a lot of people, when you say this to them, they're like, oh, no. But much of what I hear that I sense is connected to what needs to be said in the moment comes in prayer. I'll be in prayer and I'll be meditating on, example, last night, I don't know if you had a chance to watch the I guess we could call it debate.
We'll call it that.
Just watching a little bit of that, I begin to meditate on it. And so many thoughts were coming to me from the Spirit of God that just began to deal with me about unrest and fear. There was so much fear that was released yesterday, so much discomfort. And the first thing I heard the Spirit of the Lord say is you need to encourage people not to be afraid. So from there, I began to think about what can I say that will calm people down? What can I say that will encourage them? And so I often get a conviction or an unction from the Holy Spirit, and then I try to build on that. And then I'm an observant person. When I see something happening, as you talked about the sons of Issachar, they recognize the times. And I like what you said, they knew what to do about it. I think we have to know there are a lot of people that recognize it but are afraid to do anything. They're intimidated to say anything because they know if you get involved, it may have some backlash. So for me, I'm always trying to figure out, what's the best way I can say this so that it has minimal backlash, because you're going to have some, and that the message gets across to whereas it's primarily beneficial to all the viewers and the hearers. So I'm always thinking, and then from there, man, God just begins to give me ways to articulate the point. And I've been blessed and I've been graced. I would never be like, yeah, you know, because I'm gifted and I understand that, but I'm always seeking God on how to be clear in the delivery of the message, because ultimately I don't want contention. That's just a part of speaking any measure of truth to power. But my overall prayer is that 80%, 70% at least will understand the intent of the message. And in that, man, I'm always thinking. And from there, if you're in prayer and in thought, you're going to continue to create content.
That's really good. You do a phenomenal job of talking to people of all demographics, older, younger. But of course I'm biased to you talking to the young adults. I love how you reach them in such a tremendous way. They relate to you. You could say the same thing that I said. I said the same topic the week prior too, but when YPJ said it, I was like, oh man. But because you say it in such a way, you meet them right where they are. So I'm asking your help in this. I'm asking your help in this in ministering to young adults and ministering to Millennials, Generation Z. There are certain issues, certain topics, certain things, certain obstacles that we always bump into when I'm meeting with them, having discussions with them. And I want to hear from you in regard to some of these issues. I'm going to use one that seems maybe a little strange, but it impacts all of us. Past 6 months, we've pretty much been shut down. Yeah. The church has been shut down. How do you think that impacts the younger generation, millennials, Generation Z? How do you think the shutting down of the church impacts those generations?
First of all, the shutdown had an impact on all of us in a way that I believe we haven't seen the full repercussion of just yet. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, it's been taxing. It wasn't done right. Regardless of how anybody wants to say it, we had to do it. But I feel like it could have been done much better, as opposed to the shock of it all. We went from one day, yeah, it's okay, to the next day, if we don't all stop right now, it's going to be a horrendous ending. So there was so much uncertainty, so much fear. And I want you to think about something as a parent. We didn't have the answers to give our children. So children were saying, what's going on? And we're trying our best to explain. But the issue is the people that should be giving us solid information are changing their information every day. With the church not being ready for something of this magnitude, and I don't care how prophetic you are, I've heard people that were pretty clear that they saw something coming, but nobody, I haven't heard a prophet yet that saw in specificity the detail of what we're dealing with right now. I believe that this was God's intent for us to see who was made of what. I think with the church closing the way that it did, a lot of us didn't know exactly how to explain or express to our young people what we're going through. I think if we're not careful though, we'll lose the attention of the younger generation by not being relevant in our bounce back strategies. For example, I believe churches who have, as your church, online ministry that was able to kind of pick up and keep moving, those young people, because they're so connected to technology, are like, okay, well, my church is cool. I can still watch it here. I see them still trying to engage us some kind of way with Zoom, some kind of way with StreamYard, Facebook, etc. There was a measure of connectivity. Yeah. Whereas churches that downplayed or frowned upon getting involved in technological ministry presentation, they're suffering a great deal now because they showed that church absent their technology can become obsolete in the mindset of those who have embraced that culture. So I think with our young people, as long as we let them know that we're very much concerned about staying connected to them, you know, via Facebook, via YouTube, et cetera, on and so forth. Whereas others called it corny, we're seeing those churches are still maintaining some sense of connection with the youth. This is a different generation that won't sit through a 2-hour sermon. It's a different generation that won't sit through a 5-hour service. They're looking for that impact. They're looking for that measure of encouragement. And sometimes it comes through a 1-minute clip on Instagram or a 20-second TikTok that makes them laugh and say, I can't believe a pastor made me laugh. Let me go see who that is. Yeah. So I think it's very important for us to accept that we're going to need new methods to remain relevant to a generation that may not be churched or becomes disconnected from church for our inability to stay afloat with everything that's happening around us. So, man, I just my concern right now with the youth is that they know we love them and that we're very much concerned about the disconnection that many of us are going through and that somehow we're going to find a way to minister to them so that they're able to keep their spirits high even in the midst of this.
Yes, that's good. That's really good. I'm going to come back to something that you said in reference to the access that they have to be able to watch maybe even a 1-minute clip, 1-minute video. I want to ask you about how you feel about being one of those pastors that so many young adults listen to. They'll listen to you even above their own pastor sometimes. And I want to talk about that because I know that there are some pastors that are concerned about that. Yeah. They're like, well, my young people don't share my sermons or they're sharing Mike Todd and Pastor YPJ and I don't have a problem with it because you all are speaking the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to come back to that. We'll come back to that at the close because I want you to talk to the pastors to close this out when we get there. But still speaking about the young adults, but still speaking about young adults and what they're dealing with, what they're going through. What do you think can you speak to the young adults or speak to us in ministering to young adults on the whole social unrest, social justice? You've spoken about that in several clips, several videos, several teachings that you've done, but talk to us about that and how we should help our young adults in our churches deal with this social unrest that's happening right now?
We need answers and we need clarity. And pastors, I would say that any pastors and leaders out there who have individuals in their church that may be more qualified than them to speak on these subject matters, sit them on your stage. Even if you're not congregating right now, come together on a Zoom, come together on, as you and I are doing, having a conversation and get as much information to our young people as possible. People only know personality. They know Joe Biden, Donald Trump. That's it. There's so much more to this than just two people running for president. Right. We're dealing with systemic oppression that has been passed on since the beginning of this country. We're dealing with an unrest because it's revealing to us that a nature we thought was gone has always been there and is resurfacing now. We're seeing in pastors and churches that we thought cared about the overall well-being of humanity that they're still very much racist. They're still very much supremacist. Right. And these are very challenging conversations, but hiding it from our young people is not going to assist them because if we have youth that are black and white and colored, different colors, and they're having these conversations, they're gonna be more successful in progressing beyond small things than a lot of the older ones are. Mm-hmm. A lot of the older ones are set in their ways. So I think a lot of times we're keeping conversations from the youth that we need to be presenting to the youth so that they can look up and say, you know what, racism is stupid. They're the ones that'll say it's stupid. The younger a child is, the quicker they get over something. If you have 3-year-olds fighting with each other, they're best friends by the right. middle of the day. They're over it. But it's the older you get that it's harder to let things go. There are conversations we've been having on big stages with older leadership, and we're nodding our heads going, yeah, but they know after it's all said and done, nothing's going to change. Mm-hmm. We're going to maintain that same mindset. We just didn't want the public eye to see us in disagreement. But with young people, they're the ones that will actually sing together and mean it, pray together and mean it, build together and mean it. And so I feel that we need to have conversations that are uncomfortable, But sometimes as leaders, we don't necessarily have the answers, and we've got to be willing to invest in bringing in outside voices that can assist us. That's the connectivity of the kingdom. And so for me, man, I've been having some tough dialogues with our church, but I want our young people to be very aware of what's going on. I want them to see the reality and the harshness of the demonic practices that are taking place in some of our systemic presentations, that people are really still out here trying to oppress, and people are really still out here viewing themselves as superior because of their skin tone. And if we keep them ignorant to it, they won't learn how to navigate it. So I just feel like it's important for us to converse, because if we do that, we'll see progression and we'll see safety and increase in their lives.
That's good. That's good. Having tough conversations is definitely needed. And I think that it is important. You said something very, very significant. If you have someone in the congregation that is more qualified or understands that topic, that situation a little better, have them do it. I think we've come to a point. I think COVID has shown us we need to be more open to allowing people to lead and do what needs to be done, because it cannot be done by one person.
Not at all. Not at all. We're in a team concept, and I gave the prophetic word at the beginning of 2019. End of 2019, moving into the beginning of 2020, that the Lord said, this is the year of the team concept in church, that we're going to have to accept that no longer will there be a man or a woman, and they're the focus primarily of everything that goes on. The Lord is raising up team structure where there's one vision, but one group working toward that goal. You and I are familiar with sports teams. People used to hate San Antonio Spurs. They couldn't stand y'all because y'all was winning every year. The reason why you were winning is because of role definition. Everybody knew their role. Timmy knew what he was supposed to do. Mono knew what he was supposed to do. Tony knew what he was supposed to do. Bruce Bowen, Sean Elliott, David Robinson. It goes on. That's where that legacy was built, because of a recognition of taking on their role on the team. But now you have the Clippers, super team with superstars who have the talent to beat everybody, but they don't have the chemistry. And what we need is churches that understand that it's not always about who has the most talent. It's about who has the most chemistry. Wow. And if you have chemistry amongst a team, you can have less talented people that work together and accomplish something great for the kingdom. Technically, Jesus had 12 rejects. You know, these are individuals who were not smart enough to go to Pharisee school, so they had to take on the trade of their fathers as young boys, as teenagers. Jesus takes them and turns them into world changers because they all eventually got on the same page. And so that's important for us to do going forward with the team concept.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Let's talk about with our young adults, youth, another hard discussion, a hard topic to discuss, identity. How are you with your church, or with followers, people who are watching you and learning from you? How do you deal with the whole subject of identity, specifically homosexuality, same-sex marriage, marriages, things like that that are happening now, that some people even believe this election will have a lot of impact on, all of these different things that are taking place? But how do you minister to young adults or youth in the area of identity?
Well, first and foremost, we have to teach our young people, especially, that identity is not permanently defined by feelings. They think because they feel a certain way that this is who I am, and that's not true, because your feelings are always fluctuating. Your feelings are always changing. We have to teach them, first and foremost, as believers, and I'm speaking as a believer, that our identity is rooted in our Creator. The Bible says that men in the book of Romans worship the creation more than the Creator. So they've been turned over to all kinds of lust and evil thoughts. When we become consumed with basing our identity with an external source, we get confused. So a lot of people get their identity from the television, from the internet, from what their friends say, from the music they listen to, and they say, well, this is who I am. No, that's who they told you you are. But when you get a relationship with God internal, He changes us and reveals to us, this is not who I am. I've just succumbed to that because of what I've been exposed to. And that's what the devil tries to do. And so we don't teach a lot of times our young people that you have feelings, but your feelings are not you. So you can have feelings, but don't let your feelings have you. Whereas you're like, oh man, you know, I want to hurt this person. That doesn't mean you're a murderer. That's something that's trying to, you know what I mean? I feel like quitting. Okay, that's a feeling. But if that was the case, mommy and daddy would have quit their job a long time ago and stopped, you know, taking care of you. So they think because they feel a way that this is how I'm going to feel for the rest of my life. And consequently, they move based on feelings and introduce themselves to things that have them bound. So they experiment, and the experimentation leads to them having some measure of bondage that now they need to get out of. And this is why we find people who are so boisterous and boasting in their youth about who they were are now older, and they're struggling trying to figure out how to get out. They're saying, I don't want to do this anymore, because they let their feelings lead them in their lifestyle. And I've learned to teach young people, I'm not denying your feelings. Let me teach you how to deal with them. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. When it says sight, we always immediately think about what we see, but it's speaking to the sensory realm. You don't let your sensory realm decide who you are. This is not who I am. The Apostle Paul at one time was named Saul. He was a persecutor of the church. Ends up being an apostolic voice that changes all of our lives, because Jesus had to show him who he really was. He was operating in who he thought he was. Mm-hmm. Christ had to show him who he really was. Same with the disciples, same with those that follow God. And I think you know as well as I do, things that you felt as a teenager, you don't feel that stuff anymore. Right. And if you allowed yourself, I remember when I was 15, man, I was dating a girl. I knew that was my wife. We getting married. I'm in love. And I don't care what my mom and daddy say. And I look back now and say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. You know, it's one of the things where you thought this then.
Right.
But if we can teach our young people, identity starts from the inside out, that God begins to reveal to us, then we would see the Spirit of God even be able to push some of those temporary struggles out. I always tell them this: you think you're going to always feel this way. You won't. As long as I can work with you to show you who God is in your life, he'll show you who you are.
Wow. Wow. Thank you for that. And then another area of struggle, or another area of concern that comes up quite often, is mental health, depression. It just seems like there is just such a tremendous increase in people struggling in that area, or at least acknowledging a struggle in that area. Because that's what I think. It's not like my generation and my parents' generation didn't struggle with it. We just dealt with it differently, or it manifested differently.
Yeah.
My mother's generation, there was a lot of alcoholism, a lot of that. And so I think it just manifests itself there. But I think this generation is just a lot bolder to say, hey, I'm not feeling right. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And we didn't do that. We tried to pray it away. Speak to that on mental health and what that increase that's seemingly there, even amongst those generations.
I've always asked myself, for those in the church that tried to treat mental health issues as if it was something demonic, what Bible did you read? We watched throughout scripture that the greatest prophets were depressed. The greatest singers were depressed. Even Jesus was depressed. In the garden, the Bible says he was so stressed out. There is a medical condition where you can be so stressed that the blood vessels in your head pop, and and they tell he had sweat drops of blood. That was an actual medical condition that is the result of being under that much pressure. Right. He was low spirited to the extent that he asked God, if it's possible, I don't want to do this. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. There's his victory, but it doesn't deny the humanity of Christ in that moment. And so we're not demon possessed because we're low spirited. David said, why art thou cast down on my soul? He was depressed when he was writing that. Right. And then he said, okay, I got a hope in God. I can't lose hope, but I am depressed. The Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. The Bible says that our counselors depend, our victories depend on our counsel. There are times when we need to talk to somebody. Casting our cares on Christ is what we hear people say. Cast all your cares on Christ. But the Bible also says that if a brother is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore them in the spirit of meekness. That's fellowship. That's coming together. The scripture says, confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. Meaning that you got to find somebody to talk to that you can trust, right, to be able to speak things out, because we all deal with heaviness. When we talk about mental health and mental illness, those are two totally different things. A person that's dealing with mental illness, where there is something wrong with their mind, the same way the mind can conk out, just like the heart can conk out, or the kidney can conk out. Right. Now, we don't have a problem with heart medicine and kidney medicine, but if somebody takes mind medicine, we tell them they're the devil. No, some people are really off, and they need something to help them. But then mental health, everybody has mental health. Your health is either good or it's bad.
Right.
One of the two. My mental health state, what is it? It's good right now. I feel good. But when it's bad, a few weeks ago, Pastor, we were going through so much simultaneously. Everything was happening. I felt my mental health going lower. So in that moment, I knew I needed to do something. I need to either get some rest. I need to go to one of my favorite restaurants and just relax, absent ministry. I don't want to pray for nobody. I don't want to talk to nobody. I just need to relax so I can get my mental place of health back up. So we as the church have got to stop demonizing people because they're exhausted or they're burnt out. Because if you don't let people express that they're going through, they will self-medicate. They will self-diagnose and they'll end up doing something trying to accommodate this area of emptiness and frustration when all we really need to say is, hey man, you need some sleep. Hey, man, no, you don't need a prayer meeting right now. You need to go away from church right now and go sit on a beach somewhere and just relax and then come back and be rejuvenated and revived and refreshed. And so mental health is a very important conversation. I'm so glad we're able to have it openly. I appreciate my parents who have always kind of been the ones that have always said that you need to get out of here. Something's wrong with you, you know, but if we do that, man, we're going to see a much healthier church.
That is great. That is a great answer. And Pastor YPJ, I could go on and on. I know you are a busy man. I know you have things to do. So I'm gonna wrap us up. But I want to go back in and say, so you are a person that has thousands upon thousands of followers. You've gone viral. What is something that you want us to know about Pastor YPJ?
You know what, man? Honestly, that my heart is genuinely concerned for humanity. Most people assume when you have a platform that that was the pursuit of your life, and it's not. There are times when God will set you on a platform and you don't even realize the pressures that come with it. My heart's desire is that when I close my eyes, whenever my assignment is done, that people will know in his imperfection, in his flaws, in his fallacy, his effort really was for the betterment of humanity and the advancement of the kingdom of God. I want to see God's power. I want to see his love. I want to see his word manifest in this earth. I believe that the Bible is not just a novel. I believe the Bible is the living word of God. And my heart's desire is to see people be happy. I know there are those that just don't interpret scripture properly. So their thought process is, well, the world is coming to an end. We ain't never going to be happy. That's not scripture. Amidst all this happening around us, it doesn't have to get within us. We can still have joy. We can still have peace. And so whenever I post a video, whenever I post a clip, whenever I post a joke, whatever I'm doing, my prayer is somehow it makes people think. It makes people feel, it makes people get a sense of clarity, but most importantly, it makes them want to know the God that I serve in a greater way, man. And if I've done that, then I've done my job.
Wow. I want to give you opportunity to share how our listeners can connect with you. We've talked a lot about social media. Yeah. Where can they find you? How can they connect with you? And then the final thing, I just want you to just share with us, the pastors that are listening, church leaders, just tell us if there's anything that the Lord has placed upon your heart to just share with these pastors that are listening on today.
Absolutely. Well, you can follow me on pretty much any website, any social media site at Pastor YPJ. Our church website is faithalivenow.com. That NOW is Nation of Worshipers. And we really believe that our website will be a blessing to you if you go and visit it. But again, it's Pastor YPJ. I appreciate you giving me the floor to say this. I would say to every pastor, every leader that's watching this broadcast, don't lose hope. And I know most of you, because you have to carry the burden of progressing and moving forward, people don't understand that you're dealing with emotions and you're dealing with feelings and you're dealing with disappointment. You miss the members. Some of you are regathering slowly and you're seeing some progress. But even with that, I haven't seen a pastor yet who's at 100% capacity yet. We're all dealing with the effects of what's going on. The racial tension, the divide, don't lose hope. I believe oftentimes the adversary wants us to start to believe that the conditions around us will ultimately affect our confession of faith, but we can't let that happen. Our feelings can't dictate our phrasing. You've got to continue to believe that God is with us, that God is on our side, and somehow this is going to get us to a better place and a bigger place. That 2021 is the year of the church, that we're going to become the most important entity on the planet. I know there's so much political unrest, and I know people are asking you, pastors, just like they're asking me questions, and we don't have all the answers. But if we will put our faith in God and we will keep our hope strong on the other side of this, we'll have a testimony of God's keeping power and we'll be able to draw more people into the kingdom for what he's done through our lives and our surviving a moment that the enemy designed to take us out. But I believe we're going to live. We're going to declare the goodness of the Lord. So be encouraged.
Wow. Thank you so much, Pastor YPJ. To all the pastors who are listening or viewing this, I just want to encourage you again to follow him. I guarantee you, your young adults know who Pastor YPJ is. I guarantee they know it. And this man of God is pouring life into those that are listening. And so we are just truly, truly honored to have him on Church Unfiltered. So make sure you follow him. Make sure you check him out. And Pastor YPJ, thank you so much for being with us on today. You blessed us tremendously. I look forward, in the near future, maybe having you back on, and we'll talk about some.
Absolutely.
Around that, right closer to the election time and after.
All right, let's do it.
Come in and tell us what the Lord says and what's happening. Well, we'll talk about it a little more, but I thank you for allowing this opportunity, and we look forward to hearing more from Pastor YPJ as he ministers unto a variety of people, saying what the Lord has given to him. They're from South Bend, Indiana, and we are so, so grateful for him, but he has a ministry that reaches across the globe. Thank you again, Pastor YPJ.
Thank you for listening to Church Unfiltered with Dr. Anthony Cobbs. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. For more resources related to today's topic, visit churchunfiltered.com or follow Dr. Anthony Cobbs on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.